Hebrews chapter 1, reading from verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the firstborn into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is for ever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? May God bless to us that portion of Holy Scripture. Now, for the past 4 weeks, we have been dealing with the positive teaching of Holy Scripture concerning creation, and contrasting it with the theories of men. There is just one further aspect of creation which as yet we have not touched upon, and that is the heavens and spirit beings. Now here, the same principle obtains. Hebrews 11 and verse 3, which is the key to it all. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So the same principle obtains through faith. But note that that verse states worlds. It is not just earth. Worlds, plural. Now God says this, and we believe it. Same principle, through faith. We understand that the worlds, plural, were framed. I say, God says it, we believe it. Genesis 2, verse 1, I didn't point this out earlier because it comes in this section, but we've referred to this verse many times. Genesis 2 and verse 1, thus the heavens, plural, and the earth, singular, were finished, and all the host of them, all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. The heavens, plural, and all the hosts of them, completed in 6 days. So we read this evening, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Plural. Yes, these verses, these words, they roll off our tongues so often. We are so familiar with them. But have we ever registered their significance? Even this verse here in Hebrews chapter 1. We dwelt on it very much when we were dealing with the atonement. We dealt with it very much as we have been considering the question of revelation and the finalizing of Holy Scripture. He's spoken unto us in these last days by his Son. But the last four words of that verse is conveying to us an entirely different truth. He made the worlds. Plural. Oh, the horizon of the Bible is immeasurable. Its scope is far, oh, far beyond us. Because it's infinite. We are finite. God speaks of the earth. He speaks of time. He has revealed unto us something as to how it was all brought about in that which has been before us over past weeks. Yes, by faith we believe that. We have some kind of grasp at least, some degree of appreciation of these things. But then the Spirit of God takes us on into realms which are totally beyond us. It takes us into the cosmic heavens, and it speaks of visible as well as invisible planets, of thrones, of dominions, of principalities, of powers, all in addition to planet Earth and to her solar system, with the sun and the moon and the stars and the planets which pertain to this earth. Oh, the vastness of the heavens. Who can commence to measure its expanse? Or who can even commence to number those orbs? Oh, it's so vast in its extent that the Spirit of God states that the nations of this tiny planet are no more than the small dust of the balance by comparison. And all, I say all this was spoken into existence in those 6 days. We have been lost in wonder as we have thought of God in the creation of this small planet. But that is but a speck. But a speck. Says Genesis 2 verse 1 again. Not only this earth, but all the heavens and all the hosts of them. All finished on the sixth day. Again, let me say, I am not concerned with the theories of those who would tell us that these worlds and these spirit beings of which the Bible speaks so much were created long ages before. The Word of God clearly states that the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were created in 6 days. Now, the detail given us in the Word of God concerning this aspect of creation is very sketchy compared with what is revealed concerning our world and its inhabitants. Nevertheless, some information is given, and it is put here within this volume for our learning. So, we must not neglect it. We must be informed upon this. We must not neglect that which is put here, neither must we speculate upon it. And certainly, we must not read our imaginations into it. But there are three heavens which are mentioned in Scripture. And if we keep to the Word of God, we shan't go astray. We may get scorned and laughed at by the scientists, but we'll stick to that which is true science. And as one said this morning, when the years have passed by and thrown up their facts, truth will still come out on top. It always has. It always will. So we aren't concerned with what the scientist says or how much they might ridicule or laugh. There are three heavens which are mentioned in Scripture. If we keep to these, we shan't go wrong. First, the atmospheric heavens. The atmosphere which surrounds this earth, that with which we're quite familiar. We go out tonight and we say we look up into the heavens. We see the clouds, may see the moon, may see the stars. We look up into the heavens. Well, what we mean is that we're looking up into Earth's atmosphere. The immediate is that area, or even where the birds fly. We see a lark rising in the spring of the year, throbbing their very hearts out with song, and they go up and up and up. I've watched them hundreds of times. I never cease to marvel. And they go up and up, and if you take your eye off them, you miss them. And they go up and up until they become as a tiny speck of dust. And you can still hear the song. And ultimately, they go completely out of sight. And you say, he's gone up into the heavens. Well, he's gone up into Earth's atmosphere, the heavens which surround this Earth, the area of clouds and air and so on. It was the area into which the disciples gazed up from Bethany as they saw the Lord's feet gradually leave Earth. And he went up and up and up. And up, and it says, and the cloud received him out of their sight, and he still went up, and then he was beyond their gaze, but he still went on. But they could not gaze beyond the lower heavens, and then as he went beyond the clouds, he was lost to their vision. You'll remember Elijah. He's up on the top of Mount Carmel. He's bowed with his face between his knees. He's interceding to God on behalf of the people that God would yet send rain. And we read that he looked up and he saw a little cloud about as big as a man's hand. Well, he was looking into the heavens as we know them, and he saw a small cloud in those heavens. And then we read that the heavens gave their rain. The heavens which we know. Jeremiah speaks in chapter 14 and verse 22. He speaks of the heavens giving showers. Job in chapter 35 and verse 5, he says, look into the heavens and see and behold the clouds. Look into the heavens. He's speaking of the lower heavens, the area which surrounds earth. It's the lower or the atmospheric heavens. That's one. Scripture speaks abundantly of these. The Lord, too, speaking to his disciples. He said, you look into the heavens. You watch the sunset. You say it'll be a fine day tomorrow, and so on. This is the lower heavens, that pertaining to earth's atmosphere. Secondly, there is that which is known as the stellar spaces. Now that's beyond. That's outer space. That vast, limitless area. The cosmic heavens. With billions upon billions of created planets. Stars. God set them in the firmament, remember, on the fourth day. We saw it 2 or 3 weeks ago, Genesis 1, verse 17. God set them there. The stellar spaces, outer space, call them what you will. But the Bible says they are invisible dominions and principalities. They're way out, invisible. Invisible dominions and principalities. That's how they're described in the Word of God. They are further described in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse 3 as the host of heaven. Now that's not earth's atmosphere. It's not the area in which the birds fly. The host of heaven, far beyond, way out into outer space. And says Jeremiah in chapter 33 and verse 22 concerning this area, that as the sand of the sea can never be numbered, neither can the host of heaven. And he's referring to those dominions and planets and orbs, billions upon billions, in limitless space. Not just vast as this Earth's solar system might be. They talk of their light years pertaining to Earth's solar system. But we're going far beyond sun, moon, and stars into the cosmic heavens. And Jeremiah says concerning this area that as the sand of the sea cannot be numbered, neither can the host of heaven. And he's referring to those planets. Yet all this, beloved, sprang into being out of nothing at the word of the eternal God. And the scripture says through Isaiah the prophet, he meted out the heaven as just a span. Just a span. And it's limitless. It knows no beginning and no end. It's boundless. In a coming eternity, how often has one said it? When we are fashioned like unto him, we will explore to endless ages the extent of the majesty and power of Almighty God. And throughout eternity, which will never know an end, we'll never reach the limit of God's creation. A continual exploration of further power and glory and majesty. And yet, says the Word of God, he meted out the heaven, that area, just as a span, just as nothing. Oh, the magnitude of all this. Yes, indeed. But, says the psalmist, in Psalm 147 and verse 4, he telleth the number of the stars, and he calleth them all by their names. So when we read Genesis 2 and verse 1, all this is entailed. All this. Thus the heavens and the earth. Now we've spent 4 weeks on the earth. We've been lost in wonder. But now we're in an area, I say, which is totally beyond us. As we were reading and contemplating Genesis 2 verse 1 up until tonight, we have been looking at it in that restricted sense as it applies to planet Earth. and its inhabitants. But now we are far beyond. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them, on the sixth day. So we've dealt with the atmospheric heavens. We've dealt with the stellar spaces, outer space. But then the scripture goes on to speak of another heaven, the heaven of heavens, or the third heaven. It's styled in both of these ways in scripture. It's one and the same place, the third heaven, or the heaven of heavens. And that is the abode of the triune God. Away, away, far above, where the eternal God forever existed, from everlasting, in solitary majesty. This is the realm of uncreated deity. Mark that. This is the realm of uncreated deity, who eternally dwells in uncreated bliss. Into that realm, for just a brief glimpse of the eternal purpose, was called the Apostle Paul and the Apostle John. They were called into that region for just a brief glimpse, I say, of the eternal purpose. Now, it's little wonder the Apostle Paul says, these things it's not lawful for me to utter. The Apostle John writes briefly in the book of the Revelation, chapter 4 and verse 1, and this is what he says. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must come hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, far above all things. A throne was set in heaven, and one sat upon the throne. He's in the realm of the uncreated, the realm of the abode of eternal deity that never had a beginning and never knew an end. Uncreated, I say. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Heaven of heavens. Paul writes even less than John did concerning his transportation. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1, he said, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one was caught up into the third heaven. Into the third heaven. Not the atmospheric heavens, not outer space, but the third heaven, the dwelling place of God. And I knew such a man, he says, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. Totally beyond him. How that he was caught up into paradise, and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. And he says no more. God caught him up to give him a glimpse of the eternal purpose of this region, the third heaven. We are told very, very little. But of the other two, far more than ever I thought, I'll confess to you, before I commenced this study. But you know there are somewhere between 500 and 600 references to the heavens in the Word of God. I checked them up. The heavens, not the third heaven, but the heavens, the lower heavens and the stellar spaces, they are referred to in some way or another in the Word of God between 500 and 600 times. This earth, of which we have been considering, this earth is but a minute part of our subject of creation. A minute part. Exodus 20, verse 11. In 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is. Psalm 33 and verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. All the host of them. Now we move out again into that farther heavens, not the third heaven, but into the stellar spaces. That host of planets, in addition to the planets which are connected with Earth's solar system. The host of those which appear to us to be but sparkling orbs, and then by far the major part of them never even glimpsed by the most powerful telescope that man has ever made or ever will make. He'll still not touch the fringe. So it's so vast that we're lost. All the host of those planets. But as John Gill points out in his commentary, and not only John Gill, for Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown, they too point out a similar line of truth, that the hosts of God, that these hosts rather, pertain to the planets, but they go beyond the planets, for they pertain also to spirit beings. So when the psalmist and other writers speak of all the host of the planet, and then they speak rather of the hosts of God, it includes the planet, but it also includes spirit beings, angel and archangel, cherubim, seraphim. Colossians 1 and verse 16. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, or principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. So there's much more than just planets, sparkling orbs, contained in these verses. Much more. The Spirit of God is taking us beyond just dead matter. He's speaking of earth. He's speaking of planets, yes. But he's also speaking of thrones, plural, dominions, plural, principalities, plural, and powers, plural. And all created by him and for him. Now this tells us that heavenly beings as well as earthly creatures were created by him. Now these hosts are referred to again in Luke's Gospel chapter 2 and verse 13, and it may be, indeed we shall be referring to this in a week or two's time, God willing. Luke 2 and verse 13, bear in mind the hosts of the planet, of the planets rather, and then the hosts of these angelic beings. They're referred to in Luke's Gospel chapter 2 and verse 13 at the birth of the Savior. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. spiritual beings, a multitude of the heavenly host, all created by him. In Exodus 20, verse 11 again, makes it clear it was all created within 6 days. 6 days. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is. All that in them is. Now we get a glimpse into this area, or into this principality, the dominion of unfallen angels, ministering spirits, who all minister unto the God of heaven, who dwells in uncreated light. All these principalities and dominions and powers, all created for him, all ministering to him. Daniel has a vision of them in the 7th chapter in verse 10. And he says, I behold, till thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool, his throne like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. What a number. What a number. On those wheels, appearing before the eternal throne, ministering and doing the bidding of the Ancient of Days. And Daniel said, 1,000 thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. Created beings. Psalm 68, verse 17. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels, and the Lord is among them. The Lord is among them. As in Sinai, in the holy place. You mark that. That's very significant. As in Sinai, where was revealed to Moses the lively oracles of God concerning creation? Moses received them in the mount. It's where the truth of the Pentateuch came from. That's where the revelation of creation was given to him. That's where he received the lively oracles of God on Mount Sinai. And when God gave them, even thousands of angels were there, as at Mount Sinai, when this very revelation was given. They were all present in great number when God gave the detail of all this to Moses. And here they are before us in the Word of God. God's emissaries. Such were not necessary. I say such were not necessary in the solitude of a pre-creation eternity when nothing of matter existed. They were not necessary. God dwelt in solitary majesty, self-contained, self-sufficient. We won't go back over the attributes. These creatures were not necessary in a pre-creation eternity, but when God created a vast universe, he also created thrones and powers, both visible and invisible. And they are all ministering spirits. Ministering spirits of God. We read it this evening in Hebrews 1 and verse 14. They are all ministering spirits. And each one, according to Job chapter 1 and verse 6, each one a son of God. That is, a son by creation. All sons of God by creation. Which day were they created? This is something, again, which theologians have liked to argue about, as to which day these angelic beings were created. Well, it's not really revealed to us. It's a question which ancient theologians, right back through the stream of time, they've never been agreed about it. The Jews are quite adamant, and they say that these beings were created on the second day. And they base it upon verse 6 of Genesis 1, which reads, "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day." God called the firmament, that invisible area, heaven. So the Jew says, this is proof. If that firmament, if that area was created with all the host of them, all the host of planets, they mean, then it was on this day that he created all the hosts that inhabit them. That's their theory. If you just read that and exclude other sections of Scripture, as in so many of these things, you can see it. But it's at the expense of other truth, and I'm not too sure about this at all. In fact, in no way would I dogmatize upon it. But it's interesting to know the varying schools of thought regarding this. I'm not at all sure about this second day, which is basically a Jewish belief. It was not until the fourth day that we read of lights being set in the firmament. And the stars also, as recorded in Genesis 1, verses 14 to 16. That was on the fourth day. And I come back to good old Dr. John Gill again, who states that this vast host of angelic beings were created on the first day. Now, he gives no reason for saying this, or at least I haven't found it. But John Gill, a man of no mean scholarship and a man of tremendous spiritual insight, he holds the view that these angelic spirit beings were created on the first day. Now, I pondered his statement, and the first day of creation. And it reads, "And God said, let there be light. And there was light." Now, it could be that with the creation of that light, God also brought into being those creatures who were to inhabit that light and who were to have access to Him who is eternal light. Those of whom Thomas Binney wrote in his hymn, "The spirits that surround the throne may bear the burning bliss, but that is surely theirs alone, since they have never, never known a fallen world like this." Then, upon further reflection, my mind went to the book of Job. And again, Job is writing on creation, and the Lord himself is speaking to Job here. And the Lord says to Job, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? declare, if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched a line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Job, where wast thou when I effected creation? When I brought light out of darkness? When I laid the foundations of the earth? Man never witnessed it. He wasn't there to see. So he's not qualified to pass an opinion. He just wasn't there. He was the last to be created on the sixth day, but the sons of God saw it. Those sons by creation, the sons of whom Job speaks in the first chapter, for it makes it abundantly clear in Job chapter 1 that these sons of God were angelic beings. Now says God to Job, where were you? You can't say anything about this because you weren't created. But the sons of God, they saw it, and as it was effected, they shouted for joy. Those angelic beings. They shouted together in exultation as they witnessed it all being effected. Now this leads me to believe that John Gill could well be right when he said the hosts of the spirit beings were created on the first day. I was later encouraged in this to see that Dr. John Whitcomb holds the same and takes the same view with regard to this in his writings on the early earth. But we cannot dogmatize, and neither do I wish, as I said before, to read our imaginations or thoughts into these things. But what we do know, and this is the great point, that it was all created within the 6 days, and the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. Genesis 2, verse 1. The heavens, the hosts of the planets, and the earth, and all the host of them, spirit beings. Now we have already seen that the hosts of heaven can mean heavenly bodies or planets, as in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 19. I give you the reference again. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven. Now it's quite evident here that the hosts referred to are the sun, the moon, and the stars, and all the planets, when thou lookest up. Again in Isaiah, you'll find in chapter 34 in verse 4 a reference to the host of the planets. Again in Jeremiah 8 in verse 2, the host of the planets. But it can also refer to angels, as in 1 Kings chapter 22 in verse 19, where we read, and he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. Now that's not the planets. That's the angelic beings. You also read of them again in Luke's gospel concerning the birth, which we've already referred to, the host of heaven. Find it again in the book of the Revelation, chapter 19. Those that surround the throne of God, the hosts of heaven. And in other places in the scripture, both the planets and the hosts that probably inhabit them refer to the both at once, such as in Psalm 148 and verses 1 to 6. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise ye from the heights. Now we're out into outer space. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his host. We're right beyond Earth's atmosphere. Praise ye him, sun and moon, praise ye him, stars of light. Praise ye heavens, ye heaven of heavens, ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. That involves all. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree that it shall not pass. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 6 again. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, and all their host, and the earth, and all things that are therein, the seas, and all that is therein. And thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worship thee. So here we have the planets and angelic beings brought together, and all spoken of as the host of heaven. Now, as I said at the commencement, we must not speculate. But the way in which the Bible so frequently links these spirit beings, these angelic ministers, with the planets of the heavens, this leads me to believe that these are the invisible principalities, dominions, and powers. Because these spirit beings are invariably linked with the planets of the outer heavens. They're linked together, as in these scriptures which I have just brought to you. And I am of the opinion that these are the dominions and principalities and powers of which we read in Colossians 1 and verse 16. It's an amazing thing, but the planets which pertain to Earth and to her solar system all appear to be lifeless. As far as has been revealed to man, man has made some small investigation into these planets which pertain to Earth's solar system. And they've drawn a blank every time. Death and desolation reigns. They've walked the moon. And all is desolation. That's the planets pertaining to this earth. Could it be? Could it be that these planets were the domain of those angels who kept not their first estate and are now in chains of darkness? And Satan, remember, the greatest created spirit being, without a doubt, he was cast down into the lower heavens, That is now his realm. He's the prince of the power of the air. He now lurks in Earth's atmospheric heavens, the atmospheric heavens, the lower heavens. I believe, in fact, Scripture bears this out, I believe that not only this planet upon which our feet actually touch, but I believe that the whole of Earth's solar system was affected by sin. First by the fall of Satan, and then by the fall of man. We read in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 23, this is pertaining to the atonement. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified. The lower heavens, they need purifying. And in a coming day, when the judgment of God falls, and all sin will be dealt with, and all satanic beings will be dealt with, and the whole universe purged of every vestige of sin forever during that great purifying process which shall be, so is by fire. What do we read? In 2 Peter 3 in verse 10, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens, now what heavens are we speaking of here? It's not the heaven of heavens. It's not the abode of sinless beings, territory where sin has never entered. Then it must be the heavens pertaining to our solar system. The heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. The purifying of that section of the universe, the heavens, it's necessary. And it'll take place. Isaiah refers to it in chapter 34 in verse 4, and all the host of heaven shall be dissolved. Again, what heavens are we speaking of? We are speaking of that which pertains to earth's solar system. All the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down as the leaf falleth off the vine, and as the falling fig from the fig tree. This is the earth and the heavens which were affected by sin through Satan and the fall of Adam. Here I must break off. This finalizes this section of creation. But having seen just a little of the creation of these mighty spirit beings and these principalities and powers, I feel that in our next study, we should look a little into their ministry. It's a subject which one doesn't often touch upon, and having commenced and seen something of their beginning, let's look into the Word of God to see exactly why they were created and what their ministry is. So God willing, we will look a little into the ministry of these mighty beings which were created, and may God the Holy Spirit use it all to His glory. Amen. Shall we close by singing hymn number 66? Hymn number 66. Eternal light, eternal light, how pure the soul must be when placed within thy searching sight. It shrinks not, but with calm delight can live and look on thee. Number 66.
Spirit bear thee on the creed. a way for man to rise to that sublime abode, an offering and a sacrifice, a Holy Spirit's energies, advocate with God. These prepare us for the sight of holiness above, the sons of ignorance and light.
Shall we close in prayer? Our Father and our God, we worship before thee again, that for men there was made a way whereby they could rise to the sublime abode of thrice holy majesty through an offering and a sacrifice and a Holy Spirit's energies, and an advocate with God. And through the wonders of thy sovereign grace, we are counted among the number whose privilege it is to arise to such a sublime abode. Whereas fallen spirit beings were immediately consigned to darkness, those planets which surround us are marked by absolute desolation, hopelessness. And so we worship our God before thy throne again, that we are the recipients of thy grace and of thy salvation. Bless thy word to us, our God. Write it upon our hearts. May we live in the good of these things. May it be to our instruction and edification that we may be able the more to be able to give unto men a reason of the hope that is within us. Bless all that are near and dear to us. Watch over them all, our God. Those to whom our minds go now, our God, according to their need, come in. Holy Father, we pray, in thy keeping, hear our anxious prayer. Keep our loved ones, now far distant, neath thy care. May the joy of thy salvation be their strength and stay. May they love and may they serve thee day by day. So dismiss us, watch over us, until we meet together again in this way, according to thy will. May grace, mercy, and peace be with us this day and evermore. Amen.